Testing. Okay. Got me here. Good morning to each of you. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's a bit empty here this morning, but that's okay. Thank you for the singing this morning. A lot of songs that kind of fit a little bit with my message here. I have a short message here this morning, but I did want to commend you sisters for memorizing the scriptures. That's a blessing. To all of you, I think it's you know, you're busy mothers and keeping the home, and yet fuel for that is gleaned from the Word of God. So praise God for that. When I think about that, remember the word that says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And that's for each one of us in however we might be occupied. So this morning, I have been thinking recently about Matthew chapter 20. That's where the message is based out of today, which is the parable of the vineyard. And we'll get a couple thoughts from there and then just kind of brief ourselves with where we might be at with that teaching. I'd like to so Matthew chapter 20. Appreciated a couple of songs this morning. Number one, there is a gate that stands ajar, and also far and near the fields are teeming. So that kind of fit the message here that I had put together. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, I'll just kind of read it and then maybe gather some thoughts as we go through there. So why don't we, I feel like we should pray here. Let's just bow our heads. Yes, Heavenly Father, we do come before you here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodnesses, your goodness and your grace. Again this morning that you've allowed us to rise and gather with the people of God, the saints, Lord, and hear from you. We pray, Lord, that we could have our hearts soft and our ears open to hear your cry, Lord, and that we would surrender our life to you even more. We pray, Father, that you would prepare our hearts for reception and help us, Lord, to be clothed with humility. But as we handle the precious word of God, Lord, that we would do it in truth and sincerity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in light of this word here, this little parable, let's just read a verse here. This is in the context of Jesus trying to teach the hearers some principles of the kingdom of heaven, which I think we do well to just remember some of these things. Verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now I think of, I don't know if any of you brothers have had grapes, or I'm sure some of you do, or even an orchard, but there's a lot of responsibility that goes with those entities. And those of you that are experienced in it know that you kind of get out of what you put in it. It really comes down to that. How much knowledge do you have about horticulture and vineyards, and even it can be garden, but then this morning we're using vineyard because that's what we have before us. But there is a it seemed like there wasn't much, there was not much dialogue or much discourse between the householder and those that he wanted to get in his vineyard. He said, "Here's what we got. I'd like for you to work for me, and this is what I'll pay, a penny." And the thing we want to remember here, there was an agreement. They had agreed. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. It seems like when the householder was saying, I need some help, I got this vineyard, they jumped right to it. Those that heard the invitation said, yes, we'd like to be, we want to be hired here. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, I think it'd be do well here just to start with that the householder is God, and the vineyard is the kingdom of heaven or the church of Jesus Christ. Just so we understand what he's, the likeness is here, that he would like for everyone to come in. He would like for everyone to be hired. And the idleness that is, if he is standing, the if you haven't entered or received or repented and accepted that invitation, you remain idle. And the idle, the idleness of the world is everyone that hasn't made that choice. We need to see the clear distinction between the work and the idleness. The thing of it, there's a quote here that I'll get to it later, but the thing that I think this is a clear indication of the church, and the church of Jesus Christ, it takes some heartfelt, intentional workers. Because there's much work to do, and there remains a lot of people that are still idle. So the employment of God or the work in this vineyard is not done by a long ways, and I don't think we can call it finished until the coming of our Lord. So let us not, as Christians, think that even as mothers and fathers in our homes, that we're going to arrive one day and the work is finished. We know that. And then also, but bigger than that, is let us have a burden for those that are clearly still standing in the marketplace idle. Do we see that principle? There's only two employers. Does that make sense? There's only two employers, and let us have a burden to hire, to enter in, and then have a burden for those that haven't. I speak to myself first, because sometimes it's easy when, we've made the choice, we've repented, we believe, but, and then we kind of think, well, that work is done, and we just step back and start wringing our hands a little bit. But have a burden that everyone needs to be hired. It seems like there's an insinuation here that there's a strong insinuation here that those that hear the invitation should immediately step forward into the vineyard. Look, he says here, well, they said, why aren't you in? No man hired us. So may we present, as we look, present to the idol that the benefits of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that there's joy to be had here despite the work that is involved, and that the joy that is set before us, we have that burden. We have that burden. And he said, he tells them that in the 11th hour, They say unto him, no man has hired us. He said, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now, I'd like to just talk about that. What is right? God has some terms and conditions, and the right terms and his right conditions are that man has fallen in sin, and they need to repent to enter the vineyard. That's his terms and conditions. And yet, that is right. The thing that we need to understand here, I want to get to it later, is that God, in his mercy and love toward us, despite all of that, he is a debtor to no man. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. And yet, his terms and conditions are loving and kindness and mercy to each one that surrenders. He don't owe it to me, but he will give it to me. Do you understand? He will give it to me, but he's not obligated to it. Just because I say, now listen here, what I'm trying to say here will bring out later on. So when the even was come, and I want to point out that wage that he gave to those men that was right was the gift of salvation. That's what's right. God says, that's right, and I will give it to you. The gift of salvation. And I can't save another or give another more salvation than I can the next. The wages, it's a penny for every man that comes to him. That penny is salvation. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, verse 8, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Some people would interpret this as, there's several ways we can look at it, and I think they're both correct. Number one is that the Jewish nation received the first invitation. Some of them went in. He went in the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. At the 11th hour, the message went to the Gentiles, and they came in. But their salvation is just as pure and just as rich as the Gentiles or the Jews that believe first. And they might even surpass them in their faithfulness. That's one illustration. The next one is that is commonly accepted and I believe is true is that the time of your life. If you repent at an early age or a youth or a middle age or in the 11th hour, the years before you die, each one will still receive at the end of the day, a penny, that gift of salvation. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Remember the Lord said that I'm going to give you what is right. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Now, I'd just like to I have a few points here. Who is the householder? That is God. And the householder, remember, it is only the householder that has the wage to give. I can't get it from somewhere else. I cannot get the gift of that penny from anywhere else but God himself. He is the only one that has the gift, the grace of God, the gift of grace, the gift of life, the gift of love. He's the only one that has that gift to give. Now we think, now who am I? The question I wrote here was, okay, let's go on. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Now we would, in a carnal sense, we would just quickly understand why they were murmuring and complaining. But in reality, looking at it through spiritual eyes, they didn't have anything to murmur or complain about. And I would like to, for us just to take that, bring that home. You know, sometimes life will give us a situation that we don't quite understand, some difficulties, whether they're financial hardships, health, sickness, and we start stepping back and say, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? We start kind of just murmuring a bit. Remember, the good man of the house is still good, and he has given you that penny. Remember that. But it's easy in our natural sense to look over there and say, well, what about them? We was working a lot more than they were. Don't be deceived. God is not a respecter of persons. Those that come in the early morning or in the 11th hour, he's still, it's the same God overall. And then he says, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Now think about that penny. The agreement was clear in verse 2. And yet, they thought they should have received a bit more than those that were hired late. They were wrong. He said, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? God's terms and conditions, I'd like to just point that out. The terms and conditions that God has laid out and given in his love for humanity are in place for eternity. They're in place today, and the vineyard door, I'd like to say it like this, is still open. That gate is still ajar. The Lord is still looking for reapers for his harvest. The gate is still ajar. The songs we sang this morning. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto thee this last, even as unto thee. Then the Lord is speaking here. The household, the good man of the house, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? And then he asks this question. Is thine eye evil because I am good? You know, sometimes there can even, I'll say this among Christians, we can be, quote, veteran Christians. I don't like that term, but we can, you know, we've lived the Christian life for a number of years, and then when we hear some other place that might be some revival going on, there's people getting clear with God, and instead of rejoicing, we kind of get some resentment and spite. Well, what took them so long? God forbid. That's not the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be resentful for those that have been answered today. Beware of that thing. So then the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now, I would like to think, I want to point out a few things here. The question I have is, we understand that, you know, when we think about the 11th hour, the strongest tactics that the enemy presents to us is that one that says, not today. You'll have time tomorrow. Not today. Not today. But I think if we look at the scriptural descriptions of my life, In all reality, the Lord is only going to hire us for one day. That is our lifespan, and it is short. The scripture calls it a handbreadth, a vapor, and a shadow. How fleeting is a shadow? It's like gone. That's my life. So in reality, my life is but a day. It's but a day. So that should give us an urgency that we have while we have life and breath today. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but submit yourself to his word. God is good. It says here several times, the householder is good. Do we want to be evil because the householder is good? His terms and conditions are still the same. He's not a respecter of persons. And when we tend to murmur against the good man of the house, I wrote a question down here. Did God the Father, through his Son Jesus Christ, did he do enough for you? Did he do enough for you, the good man of the house? You know the answer. But when we kind of hesitate, or we have our guard up about entering into that kingdom, entering into that work, we tend to wonder, did he do enough? Have we heard the invitation often enough? That's the question too. It says many are called, but few are chosen. Well, who are the chosen? Who are the chosen? Anyone want to volunteer? The chosen are those that have in faith stepped forward and received the gift that God wanted to give them. That's the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. If we're called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 times, I believe the heart does not grow any softer. It grows harder. And yet, at the end of the day, when we're called, like Matt preached a week ago, I think it was, when we stand before the judgment, when God says, come here, I'd like to give you your reward. I'd like to give you your wages. What will our answer be? Are we going to say, are we going to murmur against those that are chosen? Just a question. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let's turn to, I wanted to, just in light of, let's go back to chapter 19, and I'd like to say, break in at verse 23, and this was after the rich young ruler came to Jesus. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Good question there. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And then he moves on into the parable of the vineyard. But I would like to just, I said at the beginning that the vineyard is the church, and I would like to just talk about, I want to mention a short list here of what, of work that I call vineyard work. And it's ever before us. I want to say it that way. It's ever in front of us. There's planting and watering. There's pruning. There's dressing. There's digging. There's fencing and weeding. These are all standard vineyard places of work. And you know, when in the church, within this little body right here at Concord, those things that I mentioned here, the pruning, dressing, digging, watering, fencing, and weeding, there's always that to do. It's just part of church life. It's part of daily church life. And I'm not insinuating anything. All I'm saying is that as brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, in this body, the work's not done. You understand that principle? The work is not done. And it won't be done until he returns. So let's not get sitting back on our chairs thinking that there's nothing to do. Let us have a burden for those that haven't been hired. This is just a likeness here, but those that are still standing on the outside hesitating to come in, let us have a burden for those. And explain to them the Lord's terms and conditions. They're not my terms, but they're the Lord's terms and conditions that stand. And if we surrender our hearts to those things, we have the benefits and blessings that are attached to that. It says that the husbandman should be first partaker of the fruits. That's what the Lord's looking for. Some husbandmen, some vineyard dressers. That is where I will quit today. I have a quote here yet. From Matthew Henry, I thought was a blessing. It says here, a man may go idle to hell, but he that will go to heaven must be busy. That's part of the Christian life. A man may go idle to hell, but he that will go to heaven must be busy in the Lord's work. And that's just, the message was for me as well. I hope you were encouraged. I think that we do well to just look at some of these eternal principles and remember that the Lord is going to give us what is right. That's the promise we have this morning. So turn the time over to Caleb for the children's lesson. May the Lord bless you all.